Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We are so glad to have you with us here this morning. I am Hannah Squirer, the assistant curate here at St. James, and I am joined this morning by Keith Nethery to lead worship. Our musical worship team is led by Steve Hollowitz and Angus St. Clair, with vocals by Paul Grambo, Victoria Piovison, and Lauren McDonald, all the way from Olds, Alberta. And we are joined, as ever, by John Gardy, our wonderful sound engineer. Please, as well, join us and join our Sunday school by watching our Sunday school videos on Facebook. And as we begin, I invite you to calm your minds and quiet your hearts as we enter into a time of worship. Thank you.
Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ the head and cornerstone, chosen of the Lord and precious, binding all the church in one. Father, Lord.
and one in glory, while unending ages run.
Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another and to walk in the way of his commandments, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the first letter of Peter. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. A few weeks ago, I preached on Thomas and his refusal to believe that Jesus had arisen unless he saw and touched, and how Jesus came back a second time and Thomas recognized him and said, my Lord and my God. So when I saw Thomas again in this passage from John, I wondered to myself just how many times Thomas makes an appearance. I found out there were three, so I read them all. I want to talk about each of the three appearances because I think at the end of it all, it might help us in thinking our way through our relationship with God in these difficult times around a pandemic, with hope, but still concern, and then hope, and then more concern. And I think that might well be what Thomas's story is. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Thomas is nothing more than a footnote. Once they go through the better-known disciples, there's just this list that includes Thomas, and nothing else is said. But as I've often shared, John's gospel is a completely different thing. While Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels, a synopsis of Jesus' life and ministry, John's gospel, written much later, comes at a time as the faith, the way as it was called then, is beginning to be developed and understood. It's still a struggling little group, not that many people. But as you put together any group, you have to find structure. You have to find, for lack of a better term, the rules and regulations of how you are going to operate. So the development of the theology of the Christian church is beginning to be seen in John's gospel. So let's look at these three places in which Thomas comes up. Obviously, the passage that's called Doubting Thomas, which I mentioned before, and I don't believe that it should be called Doubting Thomas, at least not in the sense that we might define doubting, because Thomas was asking legitimate questions, questions that any of the other disciples, had they not been in that room, would have asked the same question, would have said the same thing. I wasn't here. I didn't see it. It's too big for my mind to understand, so I can't believe it until I see it with my own eyes, touch it with my own hands. A few chapters earlier in John's Gospel, the reading today is from the 14th chapter. In the 11th chapter, as Jesus is preparing to go to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus after Lazarus has died, and Jesus is, as Jesus always did, kind of teasing things out with the disciples and not making it clear and seeing what kind of a jump they can make to understand what's going on. And he used terms like falling asleep and all those kinds of things. And suddenly, the disciples all have that glazed over look in their eyes, and Jesus simply says, Lazarus is dead, and I'm going to bring him back to life. Thomas says something really interesting. Let me paraphrase it this way. We might as well go with him and we could all die. Now that's an interesting thing for someone who's called Doubting Thomas to say. Thomas trusts Jesus enough that he's willing to walk with him and die with him. Now remember, there's every chance that the author of John's Gospel is perhaps putting some words into people's mouths, helping people to say things that will enhance the story, but I think that they are based on the author's understanding of who these people were. So I think it begins to show a little bit more of the character of who Thomas was and why perhaps the author saw Thomas in that understanding around not being there when Jesus first appeared and demanding that he have a physical vision, a physical touch of his resurrected Savior. So I thought that was a really astounding thing for Thomas to say, that he would just go with Jesus without question, and whatever happened would happen. And Thomas, reading the politics of the day, probably thought that going that close to Jerusalem at that time would result in death, not only for Jesus, but for those who are around. So we know the story from there, that Jesus goes and Lazarus is raised, and that does incite officials to more and more want to kill Jesus. And so now Jesus is talking to the disciples about what will happen. And it's an interesting, again, literary example that this time when Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when I get there, you can come to me. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Again, Thomas is the one who can completely understand that which his senses can tell him specifically. If he can see it, touch it, hear it, taste it, smell it, he's good with it. But when you try to give Thomas something that he can't deal with, then he comes to that doubting side. So, being a strong S in the Myers-Briggs personality type and being somebody who likes things in rote and a daily schedule and all those kinds of things, I identify completely with Thomas. I like things organized and in order. And sometimes when you give me that kind of out there understanding, I can be pretty thick. Then Philip jumps in and talks a little bit, and then Jesus again brings to them that understanding that he's going to the Father and that he is in the Father and the Father is in him and they are one. And now we have set the stage to go to Jerusalem, the trial, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. So what could this possibly have to do with our life and times today? In a time of difficulty. Well, I think the most important thing for me is that Thomas is willing just to be Thomas. Just because Jesus is putting him in positions that are stressful, there are extenuating circumstances, under great pressure, Thomas just relies on who he is, what he has, and how he goes about things. And I think that's something that a lot of people are struggling with in the time of this pandemic, because our normalcy is out the window. As I have said many times, today's new normal will not be tomorrow's new normal, and tomorrow's new normal will not be the new normal the day after. Things keep changing, and our relationships are messed up. How many people will not be able to go see their moms on Mother's Day? Because of physical distancing, because things are closed. I mean, some people might even have been planning a trip to fly in. Well, that's probably not going to happen. So many things are messed up in our life. And it leaves us questioning. And it leaves us unsure. And it leaves us saying, God, where are you in all this? Why is this happening to us? But Thomas, rather than asking that question, would say, how do I touch you in this? How do I see you in this? How do I experience you in this? I know that there are people in branches of the Christian church that are trotting out that lame and old understanding that this is God's punishment upon us so that we will change who we are. I'm not getting on that train, because that train to me leads nowhere. This is simply a reality. Things happen. Good things happen. Bad things happen. Really bad things happen. Not so bad things happen. Really good things happen. That's part of life. And God is in the midst of all of that in our relationships with God. And that's what Thomas can see. That's what Thomas gives us that perhaps others don't. Peter denied Jesus 3 times basically to save himself. Thomas was willing to walk with him to go and die. If we can't trust that God loves us and desires the best for us in these difficult days, then we have difficulties. Then we are in big trouble. Our faith is built on relationship. It's based on understanding that God will love us through this and that we need to love each other through this and reach out to others to help others who doubt, to help others who can't see God's love, can't understand why this pain is here. Sometimes it's not in reading the big stories of Scripture, in finding the stars, the Johns and the Peters and the Pauls and those people that have helped set the course for our faith. Sometimes we need to find Thomas, who needs to see and touch. I saw a wonderful story on the news the other day. A couple of nursing homes got together and arranged for families to come and drive through the driveway to see their loved ones for the first time in a long time. And several of the families and several of the loved ones said, we've been FaceTiming and we've been waving through the windows, but it's not the same as seeing my loved one in person. Yes, they were 10, 12, 14 feet apart, but they could still see them. We need to be Thomas in this pandemic. We need to be the one that helps people to see, hear, touch, taste, feel. That will show others God's love and help them to understand that we will get through this, that it won't be easy, that it will take sacrifice. It will mean that the new normal will not be normal for a long time. But God loves us. God loved Thomas and his doubt and his willingness to do what he needed to do. And God loves each of us. Amen.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till Christ art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name, I am. False and full. sin I am, thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with
Let us join together in the Apostles' Creed and let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I would invite you now into a position of prayer. And I would invite you to open your hearts and lift up those that you are thinking of this morning as we say, Hear us, O God, hear us. Creator God, open our communities to the hospitality of Christ Jesus, to the lost and abandoned, to our broken friends, to all those weary workers who are feeding and clothing and caring for their families or their communities, to those who are struggling to lead, to teach, to make hard decisions, to hold the world together, to the hungry and the vulnerable, to those who are seeking you, to all whom we hold in our hearts that need your comfort. Hear us, O God, hear us. Creator God, open our communities to the healing of Christ Jesus, to people suffering from every disease, illness, or affliction, to our friends, relatives, and neighbors that are longing for connection, to every community of faith, to all of us that are seeking a new way forward, to nations that are locked in terror and violence, and to all whom we hold in our hearts that need hope. Hear us, O God, hear us. Creator God, open our communities to the mission of Christ Jesus, to people who are discerning new ways of sharing their ministry and mission, their vocation, to those who have discovered new ideas and new ways of witnessing to your love in the world, to people who are seeking faith and service, to a greater commitment to the love of God and to all who we hold in our hearts that need purpose in you. Hear us, O God, hear us. Creator God, open our hearts to the love of Christ Jesus, to the cross of Christ, our hope. Hear us, O God, hear us. Hear us, O God, hear us. Amen. And now, as our Savior has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you, those that you love, and those that love you, this day and forevermore. Amen.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are in troubling times, but we still have the ability to go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.